Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are hoarding, domestic violence, sex trafficking, rape, somnophilia, murder, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Alex, and it says, "You guys ate that up. You are the most skibbity sigma Rizzlers in all of Ohio, and you all have level 10 gyats and are mewing alphas."
Thank you.
I have never felt more old, because I don't know what any of that means.
I honestly think that is the highest compliment we've ever received in the whole podcast history ever.
Yeah, I just know it's good.
Thank you, Alex.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Notice by Kay Webster. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3-star. I just wasn't that interested in it. It was kind of a lot, too.
I gave it a 4. It was really crazy. It was literally, I put in my Goodreads, wow, that was the craziest 2 weeks ever. Because this entire book is in the span of 2 weeks. And quite literally, I was stunned. It was kind of like very graphic at times, which I really didn't like. But the end, I was shocked.
I gave it a 3. It was very silly. Aside from the flashbacks of the female main character's trauma, it was just very silly. It was enjoyable. It's not something that I would pick up and read, like, on my own time, but it was easy to read. I was entertained.
All right.
So we start in a flashback from 1990, and it's our male main character. His name is Grayson, but his code name right now is Hawk.
Hawk.
He's currently taking a sniper shot at a guy named Ahmed Hakim, who is the second in command under Hussein, which I'm assuming they mean Saddam Hussein.
Oh, his dad, right?
Yeah, he's dead. As he's lining up the shot, he sees a hijab fall off a beautiful young girl, the crown prince's daughter, Adara. His higher up tells him the shot is compromised now that she's in the way, but Hawk knows that he can make it. And while he's been in the military, he has a group of friends that you'll meet later in the book.
Okay.
As the shot rings out, Adara falls to the ground and Hakim runs to her as Hawk takes another shot at him, hitting him right in the head. As he realizes what he's done, an explosion goes off all around him and everything goes black. So he just killed his target and he shot the prince's daughter on accident. Oopsie. We're in the present day and we meet our female main character, Violet, who has been working at Maxwell Subsidiaries for 6 years and she's damn good at her job as the owner's assistant. As she's making Mr. Maxwell's coffee, she sees a new hire being shown around. His name is Mr. Truman and he looks at her with his skeevy little eyes and asks if she'll be his assistant too, but immediately gets shut down. She brings Mr. Maxwell his coffee and still feels like a schoolgirl with a crush when she sees him, even after all this time. 6 years. She's been bringing him his coffee and she's like, this is the hottest man.
Girl, make your move.
She gets flustered when he thanks her because in all of her time working here, he has never thanked her before. She's brought him coffee every single day and he's like, thank you. And she's like, oh my God,
I'm gonna cream.
Rain your coffee. But as his chair turns around, she realizes he's talking to somebody on the phone and not her at all.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Mr. Maxwell exudes power and strength. The solid muscles in his shoulders and upper arms stretch the suit fabric to its limit. He's hot as hell, all chiseled jaw, scarred eyebrow, icy blue eyes, just fucked hair, and scruffy 5 o'clock shadow. His full lips keep moving as he speaks, lips I've often fantasized about. An air of arrogance surrounds him, and my God, does he smell good. Sounds like a haughty businessman.
He is. And ex-military, too. So he's beefy and
beefy.
Troubled.
Oh, yeah.
She storms away, embarrassed and angry at the fact that she's still never even gotten a thank you from this man. He barely even looks at her. She takes an early lunch to cool off and tells herself she's finally going to send her resume over to Slant Mortgages. The CEO, Sean, has been trying to get her over there for months. So she's like, fuck it. Fuck this guy. Fuck this job.
Yeah.
I'm going where I'm wanted.
As you should.
Later in the day, she's serving drinks to 12 men in a board meeting at work, and they literally just treat her like a waitress, and she hates it. Like, she's not a waitress.
What is she? Like, what is her actual title?
She's Mr. Maxwell's personal assistant.
So essentially, like, his bitch.
Yeah, she's a coffee bitch. But, like, she's pretty high up, I want to say. A particularly gross man named Ralph grabs her inappropriately, but nobody so much as looks up, let alone helps her. She's thankful that she finally decided to take Sean's offer, and she can't wait to give her 2 weeks' notice here since Sean offered her the job of sales associate at his company. She's groped by yet another sleazeball, and she tells herself 2 more weeks and she'll never have to deal with any of these assholes again. Grayson Maxwell has just made a deal with Mr. Collins to purchase his resort in New England. He's looking over the deal because it seems too good to be true when Violet walks into his office and tells him that she quits. She's obviously pissed and he's confused because he doesn't even know her and certainly hasn't done anything to make her so angry. Like, he's like, who are you and why are you telling me this?
As she's been with him for 6 years.
Yes.
Insane.
She's like, this is my 2 weeks' notice. And when he looks confused as to why she'd be telling him and not HR, he's told that she's been his assistant for the last 6 years.
Yeah, dick. Jerking my gaze back over to her, I take in her face more thoroughly this time. She's pretty, really pretty. High cheekbones dusted in a rouge color that may or may not be dark because of her apparent rage. Intense brown eyes that hold a story locked tight behind them. A small upturned nose that fits her face perfectly. And the most succulent lips I've ever seen on a woman. Full, slightly parted, painted a color that reminds me of blood. Her silky brown hair has shimmering strands of gold in it, and every time she moves, they catch the light. She fucking sparkles. How did I not notice her until now?
How did you not notice her?
Yeah. It's another human being that's been in your vicinity for the last 6 years.
Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, so hot.
Who are you?
She starts going off on him for all of the reasons she's quitting and how nobody will be bringing him his coffee. And she's done a lot for this company that she never got any recognition for.
Her eyes and mine are locked again. She's furious. And I'm curious. I want to know how her hair smells. I want to know how her voice sounds when I draw pleasure from her. I want to know how the curve of her ass feels with my cock pressed against it. Yeah, because that's what you think.
That's normal.
I want to put my dick in it.
He's handed her resume and he looks it over and sees that her name is Violet. So he says it out loud to himself. Like, he's like, Violet.
Her withering stare falters a bit as her sexy mouth parts open. I want that mouth. I want to taste it and suck it. I want to fuck it. God damn it.
Shut up. She's asked to take the weekend to think about it. And she's like, no, this is my 2 weeks, and storms out. Grayson's like, damn, this girl's beautiful, and every man in this office has been ogling what is mine.
Okay.
And he tells himself he just hadn't seen her until now, as she's been bringing him coffee every single day for 6 years.
Yeah, that's stupid.
But now he sees her, and she will be his. He immediately opens his laptop and starts to stalk her social media, but it's all private. He goes to her desk and looks at the chair, telling himself that he will be buying her a better one. He logs into her computer after finding her password on a sticky note and snoops until he finds thousands of emails in her drafts to him of business suggestions and ideas. And as he reads them, he realizes that these are all actually very, very smart emails. And he sends a few to himself and then uses the same password to log into her Facebook account.
What a fucking weirdo. Yeah,
he gets weirder. He goes through her friend requests and deletes all of the ones from men.
He said, you won't be needing that anymore. I'm your only friend. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys aren't even friends on Facebook. What are you talking about?
He didn't even know she existed till 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Then he sees a message from Sean Slant telling her how happy he is that she finally took his job offer. And he tells himself he has 14 days to make her his.
Oh, that's where the 14 days comes in.
Later that night, Violet is having a beer with Sean at a pub, and she's thinking about the weird, intense eye contact Grayson made with her earlier. But fuck him. He had 6 years to notice her. As they sit and talk, she swears she sees the shadow of a man watching her from across the street, but she chalks it up to paranoia from her crazy ex, Vaughn. Her and Sean wind up getting shit-faced, and things start to get a little flirty between the two of them.
Sean is warm, approachable, and nice. I wonder what it would be like to kiss someone like him, to straddle his firm hips and ride him into an orgasm. My panties dampen at the thought of getting laid. It's been years. Would he kiss me in that soul-consuming way Vaughn used to? Vaughn was bad for me. Would he touch me in all the right places like Vaughn did? Vaughn ruined me. Would he fuck me like I belonged only to him until the end of time like Vaughn did? Vaughn was a psychopath. Letty, Sean's hissed voice cuts through my confusing haze. I hate Vaughn, but imagining him while I touch myself is the only way I can get off. It's humiliating. You have to stop or I'll come right here in my pants. What are they doing?
Well, she looks down to see that Sean is rubbing his erection over his pants. And this is her future boss.
What does she have to stop? He says, you have to stop or I'll come right here in my pants. What is she doing?
Being sexy.
Just sitting there.
They're just like sitting there and they're having some sort of like flirty banter and Sean's just,
my dick. Also scary. Your new boss, you haven't even started yet. And he's like, oh, my dick.
Well, why would you go out for drinks with your new boss? Just you two. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I feel like that's a boundary that should not be crossed right away.
Well, this girl gets a lot of her boundaries crossed.
Yeah.
He apologizes and tells her he's going to call her a cab before they both do something they'll regret before she starts working for him. He puts her in the cab and she's so drunk she starts to pass out when she hears a grunt outside the car door. The door opens next to her and someone gets in and starts to stroke her hair.
Ew.
The stranger gives her address to the driver, telling her, it's okay, I have you now.
What the fuck?
Grayson takes her inside of her apartment and gets her in bed before undressing her.
What's happening?
He says, don't worry, Pookie, you're safe now.
Daddy's here. Her perky tits have the sexiest biteable nipples right in the center of each one. Yeah, that's where a fucking nipple is. Just looking at them has me nearly coming in my slacks. I'm going to feast on them one day. Not today. One day. Her stomach is flat and her hip bones are showing. The woman could stand to eat a little more. I make a mental note to deal with that problem as well. Her pussy is shaved smooth. The urge to push my finger inside of her is overwhelming, but I fist my hand and ignore the urge. You know what? I'm not liking this guy. I'll say that right now.
After he tucks her in, he snoops her entire apartment. He finds a box filled with pictures of her as a child with her mom and some letters. Then he sees a picture of her with her ex. He can instantly tell that this guy is bad news. He walks back into her room and sees her asleep, but touching herself and moaning. He grabs her hand and helps her to get herself off while she's still completely unconscious. And the things that you're able to do to this girl while she's just fast asleep is insane.
Yeah.
She sleeps like a fucking rock.
It's concerning.
She finally comes, but she's still snoozing.
A simple taste. I draw her soaked fingers from her body to my lips, smearing her juices all over my mouth. I grow impossibly harder with the need to push inside her gorgeous body. Instead, I suckle her fingers, removing each trace of her orgasm with my tongue. God, she smells decadent. I gently rest her hand back on her stomach before covering her back up with the blanket. Her essence on my lips lingers, and I inhale her alluring scent. One day soon, I'll have my face buried between her thighs. I'll feast upon her perfect cunt whenever I want. She'll beg for it. I'll reward her because she's so fucking gorgeous and deserving. With a flick of my tongue, I slowly lick my bottom lip. She tastes like sin. Sweet, decadent sin. My cock aches to sink inside of her, but I ignore him for now. Him. The morning sun is just starting to peek in through the blinds. It's time I leave her be for a bit. Yeah, you shouldn't even be there, you freak.
So, he does what any rational man would do, and he climbs under her bed and gets the best sleep he's gotten in months.
That's so terrifying. That is nightmare, nightmare, nightmare.
Yeah. He said, good night.
Cozy.
Violet wakes up naked and confused. Her vagina hurts, so she smells her finger, and she's like, oh, I touched myself in my sleep.
Oh, also, it hurts? Girl, how fucking hard were you doing it?
I'm in her sleep, and she's like, that's normal.
Oh, silly me.
She takes a shower and checks her phone to see that Sean texted her apologizing for last night and asking her to dinner. She thinks about how to reply, but she can't get the feeling of being watched out of her head for some reason. As she's looking in the closet for an outfit, she hears a click and she checks her room to see her previously open door is now shut. She's freaking out now and she checks her entire apartment but finds nothing. Then an unknown number texts her asking her to meet them for breakfast. She asks who this is and they reply saying, it's Gray, little quitter. Let me treat you. We both know I have 6 years to make up for.
That's a little too late, buddy.
I mean, like, she's wanted this guy for like 6 years.
That's true. So. That's true. I forgot that she's pining over him as well.
She's like, no thanks. I'd rather eat alone. And he replies to meet him in 20 minutes. And also, now she'll never be alone.
I'd say, what does that mean?
She puts on her sexiest outfit, puts her gun in her purse to be safe, and tells herself she's just gonna make him regret ever treating her like she didn't exist. She shows up late and takes off her sweater when she gets to the table he's waiting at. He can clearly see her nipples through her dress and gets pissed that someone might see, but she just asks him what he wants. When they sit down, he slides his leg between her thighs and tells her it's pretty obvious what he wants, and she's like, well, that sucks because I took a job with Sean, and he tells her Sean is a sleazeball, and she's like, so are you.
Yeah, you both are.
Also, she's literally at brunch or wherever with her boss, her current boss, in a see-through shirt. Like, her nipples are just, like, on full display.
Girl.
HR.
Yeah. You all have weird boundaries. All of you.
Then he tells her he looked up her address and wants to know why she lives in such a shitty part of town when she makes good money. And she's like, I like it there. Drop it. He asks if she's hiding from someone. And she calls him a stalker. And he asks her where all of her money goes. So, like, none of your business. He tells her he saw the emails in her drafts and asks her what she thinks about his new resort purchase and asks about how she knows everything she knows, and she tells him she's just very perceptive and picks up on things other people miss. He tells her he's picking her up for dinner at 7 and to wear something casual this time. Before dinner, Grayson has a little shower jerk, and when he's getting ready, he's interrupted by a woman named Gwen asking if they can have a little alone time tonight, but he tells her he has plans even though he feels incredibly guilty about it.
Who is Gwen? Does he have a wife?
Gwen presses the issue, so he invites her to the dinner at his friend's house that he's also taking Violet to. He picks Violet up and meets Gwen there, and Gwen runs up, throws her arms around him from behind, and introduces herself to Violet as Gwen Maxwell. And now Violet is pissed.
What?
She tries to hang out a little bit, but she just can't do it. And she says she's not feeling well and she's gonna leave. And Gwen offers to drive her home. She has no other options, so she's like, fine. Because Gray drove her, so she has no other options, so she goes with Gwen.
What the fuck?
They have a silent car ride, but when Violet goes to get out to go to her apartment, Gwen is like, I'm sorry, I can tell he likes you, and I didn't know you guys were dating, I just want him to be happy. Now Violet's confused and is like, I don't know what kind of fucked up relationship you guys have, but I am not getting involved. She slams the door as Gwen tries telling her to wait, but then Violet sees a strange man in the shadows, and she assumes it's Vaughn, her ex, so she pepper sprays him, and it's just a random guy.
Gotcha.
The guy freaks out, but Gwen grabs Violet and brings her to her apartment, asking what the fuck that was, and Violet explains that she thought it was her ex, who was a literal piece of shit. Like, he's the worst person I've ever read about in a book.
Oh, God.
She's scared he's gonna find her, so she just freaked out. They go inside, and Gwen makes her a drink, and we learn that Gwen is Gray's sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they totally made you think that it was his wife in the book.
Yeah.
They both start laughing hysterically about the miscommunication, and then there's a pounding at the door, and Gray is demanding to know why his baby sister stole his date. They explain the situation, and then Gray and Gwen leave, with everybody being on good terms. Gwen and Violet are even considering themselves to be friends now.
Girl's girl.
Later on, he sneaks back into Violet's apartment and is disappointed to see that she's not sleeping in the nude. So he quickly rectifies that and undresses her.
As she's sleeping?
Yeah. Yes. She's not even drunk this time. She just sleeps this hard normally.
Girl, are you taking an Ambien or what?
He grabs her phone and takes it to the kitchen, sending himself the minimal photos that she has and then deletes the evidence and goes back to her room. He strips down to his boxers and socks and stands at the end of her bed, stroking himself over his boxers.
I push my boxers down to my thighs so that my heavy erection bobs out. When I take it in my grip, it's hot and pulsating. I got a boner. It just bobs out. I'm just picturing it like bobbing in the water or something.
He jerks off over her sleeping form and comes across her naked stomach. Then he drags his cum up and around her breasts and then down to her vagina.
What the fuck?
She moans in her sleep and all he wants to do is fuck her. He cleans her up with her sheet and I put, this is so fucking rude.
That is so rude. That she is gonna be crunchy when she wakes up.
Yeah. Yeah. But he decides that he needs to take a small nap and then climbs into bed with her. He wakes up around dawn and Violet is snuggled up to him and he doesn't want to leave her but knows that they'll sleep like this every night very soon. Just as he stands and grabs his clothes, her alarm goes off. He drops to the floor and crawls underneath her bed, and she gets up to use the bathroom.
I can hear her peeing in the bathroom. I'm hard just imagining her squatting on the toilet. I bet her hair is messy and her face is scrunched up with sleep. One day, I'm gonna fuck her mouth while she pees. I'm grinning like a fucking idiot when the toilet flushes and I hear the sink. But something catches my eye. My boxers are sitting on the floor beside her bed. You fucking weirdo.
Why is that your thought? I'm gonna fuck her mouth while she pees.
Yeah, while she's sitting on a toilet, while she's squatting over it.
She gets back to her bed and starts talking to herself about Gray. He hears her nightstand drawer open up and a buzzing noise fills the room as she masturbates talking about him. He jerks off in the minimal space underneath the bed and she comes screaming his name as he comes all over his stomach. She goes to the bathroom to shower and he gets out from under her bed, licks the vibrator clean, gets dressed, and then leaves. Later that morning, Violet's at Starbucks when Gray runs into her. He admits that he was coming to check on her since she was upset last night and her heart warms thinking about this.
Oh, God.
She tells him that she's fine and she appreciates her friend, checking in on her since that's all they'll ever be. He invites her to the fancy resort on Wednesday, but before she can panic, he says it's just his colleagues. He's gonna need his business assistant to go with him. She agrees, and then somehow they're both going to the mall.
Oh, okay.
Let's go shopping.
As they drive there, a song comes on that reminds her of Vaughn, and she starts to have a panic attack when he grabs her hand over her lap to comfort her. But all she can think about is the fact that his pinky is right on the seam of her yoga pants, touching her clit.
Oh, wow. His hand's really up there.
Yeah. He said, hey, baby, don't worry. Got your quiz.
They arrive at the mall and he has her help him pick out new ergonomic office chairs. As she's sitting in one, I don't really know how she goes down this flashback rabbit hole, but she goes into this like PTSD of all the ways Vaughn used to abuse her. And when he's finished paying, he asks her what's wrong and if she's okay. She says it's nothing and he knows that she's lying, but he doesn't push her. They go and sit down for lunch and he feels comfortable enough to start asking who did whatever makes her go into these flashbacks.
Who is it? I'm gonna fucking kill
him. Who hurt you?
She says that his name was Vaughn and he is a very abusive ex and she had a very awful breakup with him. He doesn't press for more information, so she asks about Gwen. We learn that she's an artist and is just like their mother, a hoarder.
Oh,
good show.
I do eat that shit up.
They finish lunch and he asks if she wants to change before she comes over to watch football at his house, because apparently they're just hanging now.
Oh, they're buds.
And she does. So he takes her to her apartment, she changes, and then they're back at his house watching the game. Gwen and Violet are getting along and he texts his friend. His code name is Bull, but his name's like Jeff or something.
Yeah, Bull was his code name in the army, so he was like one of his army boys.
And he texts Bull admitting that he slept under her bed twice.
Why would you admit that?
Bull tells him that's weird as fuck.
Yeah.
To just date her like a normal person and not stalk her. And if she ever finds out, they can lose their company and he'll go to jail.
Yeah, he's like, hey, please don't do that, buddy. Please don't do that.
Gray says she's worth getting fucked over for. And he leaves it at that.
He's like, oh, no, wait, we're in this company together. No.
I have bills. Please don't.
When he goes to steal a moment alone with Violet, he realizes that she's not in the bathroom or in his room, and she's in the forbidden part of his house, Gwen's part of the house.
Oh.
It is described as a very awful episode of Hoarders.
Oh.
Gray has to drag her from the room when she sees something scurry across the bed.
Oh, no.
She's just a little friend.
Yeah. A little creature.
She tells him that this can't be safe and there's got to be something for them to do, but he tells her that he's tried everything. They both agree to not let Gwen know that she saw this part of the house because she'll be super embarrassed about it.
He needs to call TLC. Get her on an episode.
Yeah.
She wakes up later, naked. She doesn't know how, because she went to bed in clothes.
Ask questions. Search around. I don't know.
She just thinks that it's her. She's like, man, why do I keep doing this? That's so weird.
She's like, man, I'm so horny all the time.
She also hears footsteps and then the door slams shut. She immediately grabs her gun and calls Gray sobbing. He tells her to lock herself in the bathroom and he'll be there in 20 minutes. And I just picture him standing right outside her front door, like, yeah, with a timer on his phone. Yeah.
Also, like, you fucker. You're, like, terrorizing her now at this point. And he's like, I'll save you.
Yeah.
Little do you know, it's me.
Once he gets to her apartment, she climbs on his lap as he soothes her, telling her to tell him everything that happened start to finish. Once she finishes telling him what just happened, she realizes that her silk robe leaves little to the imagination.
Uh-huh.
And she feels his dick get hard as he admits that he wants to kiss her and be more than friends. They start making out and he slowly starts touching her. He fingers her until she comes, but as soon as he dips down to kiss her breast, she has a flashback of Vaughn and says that she can't do this. He promises that it's totally okay, and he asks for a pillow and a blanket so he can at least stay the night to watch over her. Behind her door, she fingers herself again until she goes to bed. The next day at work, he admits to Bull that he almost got caught last night. He ignores all the jests from his bestie and asks for him to have a mutual person run any information they can on a man named Vaughn Brex. Bull tells him that he's taking shit way too far, but he'll get it done. Then Gray asks for names of every man at this company who's ever touched her, and he tells Gray that he already has that list. He tells Bull to bring them to his office. They're gonna start cleaning up their business in hopes that she'll stay after her 11 days. He's excited to get all the information he can about Vaughn to make him pay, but not more excited than the Amazon package he has coming for Violet.
Now that she's practically mine, I want to shower her with everything. Love, attention, gifts, come.
Oh, God. Just the essentials.
You know.
He watches as the men of the office walk into the building and ogle other women who work there. And he is now fucking pissed that he has never noticed this before.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's your fault. She's worked there for 6 fucking years.
He makes Truman get him his coffee instead of Violet. And when Violet shows up, he lets her know that she'll no longer be making coffee. And then she sees that she got her new office chair. He tells her that the whole office has a meeting as soon as possible. She just has to open her Amazon package first. She also got flowers, but the new Amazon package is a brand new Kindle because hers is broken.
Oh.
She tries to say it's too much, but he tells her that he owes her way more for just the last 6 years working for him.
Yeah.
He kisses her and she kisses him back, but they both agree that their first hookup can't be in his office. He bets her that if her underwear aren't hella soaked right now, he owes her lunch. And she's like, okay. She lifts her skirt and he stares in shock that her panties are dry. And now he has to buy her lunch.
No, her panties aren't dry. She's not wearing panties.
Wait, so she just shows her fucking puss?
Yeah.
She's like, my panties aren't soaked because I ain't wearing them. So you owe me lunch, bitch.
Free lunch.
But he has to get her back for this. So he just starts eating her out.
Oh my God.
He makes her come and then it's time to get to work. Halfway through the workday, he lets her know what he's thinking about.
I can't wait to feel those pouty lips around my dick. I'm not sure your little mouth can even take my cock. And I can't wait to strip you bare so I can taste every inch of your flesh. I want to run my tongue along every dip and curve you own. I want it in every single hole. I also can't wait to spread your sexy thighs apart so I can look at your needy cunt. I bet it'll always drip for me. I know you'll want me to wear a condom because you don't know me, but I'm fantasizing right now about how you'd feel bare. I bet my cock would slide right into your tight pussy and you'd come just from the way I stretch you out to capacity. I can almost see your juices running down my shaft and stop. I breathe and squirm in my chair. I can't think about that right now. My dick inside you? I let out a sharp breath. Yes. Oh my God. He's so full of himself. I mean, obviously he's like trying to win her over, but he's like, oh, you're gonna come as soon as my dick enters your puss. Okay.
They get through some more work and then it's finally lunchtime. He takes her to a really popular pizza joint and apparently this place has like a normal 3-hour wait, but they just walk right in because he owns the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Once they're done eating their food, he slides his hand up her skirt and starts fingering her till she comes.
Oh my God.
They leave, and on the way back to work, she admits what she hasn't been able to say out loud, that she needs to move slow with Gray because Vaughn was abusive and prostituted her out.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
He hugs her as she cries, and he promises that he will kill Vaughn. She thanks him for being so kind, and they share a really sweet kiss before they get back into the office. After a couple more hours at work, she decides to make Gray his coffee, even though she doesn't have to anymore. And as she's getting it ready, Truman accosts her and literally, like, sexually assaults her. So she smashes the coffee mug into his face.
Go tell your man. He'll kill him.
Gray storms in, demanding to know what happened, and Truman says that she hit him. They're all called into the boardroom immediately, and in the boardroom are 8 of the men that she hates most in the company, plus Gray and Bull. He fires everyone in the room for sexual harassment and names Violet vice president of the company.
Oh,
promotion.
Promotion. You better stay. Don't quit.
Later on, Bull brings him a file on Vaughn. It has a possible address for him, but Bull tells him not to get arrested and don't ruin anything with Violet. They have dinner after work and they head back to her place. She's in the shower when her phone rings with an unknown number. Gray answers it, but he doesn't speak. The caller asks if it's Letty, and he immediately knows the person calling is Vaughn. So now he figured out her phone number.
So she goes by Letty?
No, she hates it.
Oh, okay. I was like, I've never heard Violet be like nicknamed Letty.
Gray tells him it's the wrong number, hangs up, blocks the call, and deletes the history. She steps out of the bathroom in her silk robe, and he starts kissing her. He undoes her robe and tells her she's the most beautiful woman he's ever seen, and then he takes his shirt and tie off, and he's like tatted. Tat daddy.
Ooh. Ow, ow, ow. I unbuckle my belt and lift an eyebrow at her. You ready for this? She laughs. It's a penis, not an introduction to the president. You ready for this? You ready for my dick?
He drags his boxers down. Then he literally says, that's Mr. President to you.
Yeah. Oh, God. Knock it off.
He double checks that she's okay to continue, and she says yes. He lays her on the bed so he can eat her out, and then he climbs over her and starts fucking her until they both come. They get up to bathe, and that's when she notices his scarred back, and he tells her about how it happened when he was in the Marines, and she hugs him. He tells her that they're going to the resort on Wednesday, and they will talk about work until Friday, but the 2 extra days he booked for them are just a treat for themselves.
Oh.
It's the next day, and Violet took Plan B right away. When she gets to work, she opens up her email, and it lists her new job duties, which aren't really new to her. She's been doing all of them for years now, except for now she's a manager. So it just goes to show how much she was actually doing for the company. Gray sent her an email as well, stating how much he enjoyed himself last night and asked to take her out to lunch today. She's smiling because she's happy too, but she can't help but to have anxiety creep in and think about if he's love bombing her, just like Vaughn was. Because in the beginning of her relationship with her ex, he was like very sweet and was doing all these things for her, and then it turned very abusive. Gray calls her into his office and tells her to lock the door, and she's already hella soaked. She's mentally preparing for him to get right down to sexy time, and he's like, okay, I need your help with these contracts. And she's like, huh? He's like, oh, you thought I was gonna fuck you right here in the office, didn't you?
Baby, he growls and playfully bites my flesh before pulling away. I most definitely want to fuck you right here on this desk. I want to make you scream. I want your pussy to drip all over these files and smear the ink. I want to ruin these documents. Violet, I want my cock buried so deep in your sore cunt that you beg me to stop. Another growl. But that's the thing, beautiful. I wouldn't be able to stop. I'd fuck you all day over and over. You'd be weak from all the orgasms. And I'd be worthless to run this company. Together, we're explosive. He kisses the tip of my finger, which is why the fireworks have to stay outside of this building. We're explosive.
It's later in the day, and they've had a wonderful sushi date, and now they're laying in bed post-coitus when Gray opens up about his past relationship with his father. So when Gray was a little boy, he rescued a quail and learned all he could to successfully raise it, and his father absolutely hated it. One day they were eating dinner, and his dad literally killed his pet bird and forced him to eat it.
Yeah, it's so sad.
And he named the bird whale the quail.
because it would like always make so much noise.
Aww. Rest in peace, whale.
Violet is sprung into a flashback of the night she ran away from Vaughn. And in the book, it's extremely graphic. So I'm going to spare your little heart and ears with a brief synopsis. Basically, he's been pimping her out. And when she doesn't comply, he literally drugs her. Only this time, he shoves the pill into her mouth and she doesn't swallow it. And he doesn't check. So she spits it out the moment that she could. And her mind is clear for once. The man that he brings her to is very aggressive from the start. And Vaughn tells him he can do whatever he wants with her for 20 minutes in exchange for more drugs, just no anal. The man takes her away and rapes her both vaginally and anally, and she literally blacks out from the pain and comes to Vaughn beating him to death.
Oh my god.
While he's prepping a syringe of drugs, Vaughn, after he like killed the man, she painfully gets off the floor and leaves through the fire escape, and there's blood literally dripping all down her, and she runs into the street, and a woman with her daughter in the car stops for her and takes her away. And that's the day that she ran away from Vaughn, and that was the last time she saw him. She's brought back to the present with Gray shaking her, because when she goes into like her PTSD state, she goes like catatonic. So he's like shaking her, trying to like bring her back to the present. And he pleads with her to tell him like what is going on. So she tells him start to finish of the night that she escaped. And he vows to her that he's going to obliterate his skull into 1,000 pieces. Greg gets a call, and it was Gwen saying that their mom fell and that she needs help. He needs to go. And she says, baby, we're a team. You go, I go. He warns her of the hoarding situation and how bad it truly is. And she's sticking by him, and they head off. They get to the house, and it is really bad. Like, if she thought Gwen's bedroom was bad, the mom's house is like 20 times worse. The police and ambulance won't even go to the residence.
Oh, God.
When they realize he brought Violet with him, it kind of gave them both, Gwen and his mother, a little bit of a reality check of how their living isn't safe. And Gwen was extremely embarrassed and even asked Gray if he could make her an appointment to see her therapist. Gwen also talks about concern for their mom and how she's been extremely disoriented and forgetful lately, and at times doesn't even recognize Gwen. It's later, and they're at his house, and Violet's in his room and sees this big chest. She wants to know what's in there, and he says, nope, absolutely not. And he's not budging, and it's making her hella mad, especially because they've opened up a lot. And he kind of snaps, and he tells her it's none of her goddamn business, and she's immediately shuts down. She's like, I want to go home. And he convinces her to stay by dicking her down.
But yeah, then I would be like, tell me what's in that. Tell me. Gray, she hisses. My balls slap against her pussy with every thrust. She's tight and clean and fucking mine. Clean?
She just had a shower.
Oh.
Homegirl literally just told him the most traumatic part of her life, and then he does this.
As I fuck her, I stick my thumb into my mouth to wet it. When I push it against her tight asshole, she lets out a whimper. Touch your clit, I order, my voice low and husky. She obeys, but her ass clenches. It's going to hurt. What happened was a long time ago, I assure her, my tone gentle. I'm going to make you feel good. Yeah, maybe talk about it before. She literally told you.
She was like brutally raped in the ass, and then he's like, I'm going in there.
He's like, well, it's mine now. My hole.
There is lots of communication, and he's being very gentle, but still.
I'm going to protect you. And when you let me, I'm going to love you. I'm going to stamp myself all over your heart and your pussy. You're going to wear my ring and take my last name. Why, Violet? She cries out when I slap her ass. Because I'm yours. Fucking right you are. And I'm going to come inside your pretty little cunt. No more goddamn condoms, I growl. Why, Violet? When she doesn't answer, I slap her ass again. Because I'm yours. Good girl, I praise. No more morning after pills. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's been a week now?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
But honestly, all this dirty talk is really doing it for our girl, because she has a wild orgasm. And then she catches some memes.
Some memes? Like she sleep?
Yeah.
I think she might have a sleeping disorder.
Yeah. They're on a little vacation at the resort. He's like, ah, yes, this is wonderful. I can't wait to start a family with you and bring the kids here. And she's like, hey, so like you do realize up until a week ago, you've never looked at me in the eyes, right? But our man, Gray, he knows what he wants. He's just teasing her body when he asks her if this is more than just fun to her. And if she wants this just as much as he does. And she says, yes.
That's it, baby. He groans against my mouth. Take this thick cock because it belongs to you. My dick is yours.
My big dick.
As they're fucking, there's a lot of breeding talk going on, and I think they both found their niche because it sends them both over the edge very hard. But as Violet comes down, she gets very scared that he's gonna hurt her eventually, just like Vaughn did. It's a little later, and they're snuggling, and he tells her about a trip in 2 months to Hong Kong and how he wants her to come. And she's like, what part of 2 week notice didn't you understand? And he's like, girl, I literally fired everyone on the board and made you VP. I thought you were gonna stay. And she's like, And then he just gets up and he's like, I gotta go. I gotta make a call. And then like leaves the room.
I mean, I thought she would stay too.
Going from assistant to VP is like jumping 20 fucking steps in the
company. Yeah. I wouldn't leave.
No.
It's the next day and they're back at work and people are starting to congratulate her in the hall. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? That is until she sees the newspaper. Her face is front page along with her name, age, location. It's basically a huge spread about the sexual harassment scandals and the previous board members and how she rose to the VP chair and how Maxwell's subsidiaries bought out Slant Mortgages.
He literally bought the other company so she didn't leave.
If he wanted to, he would.
He was like, okay, you can leave now.
Where are you gonna go?
And she's pissed. She barges right into Gray's office and she feels like betrayed more than anything else because he knows that she's completely terrified and hiding from her abusive ex. And the entire front page is basically like a target right on her back.
Yeah.
She tells him that she's taking a sick day and leaves the office. But Grayson has a plan. He hates that he can't tell her that he did this on purpose to draw Vaughn out from hiding. All day since she left, he's been outside her building doing surveillance and making sure that she's been safe. After midnight, he texts her telling her that he's sorry. And she texts back immediately saying that she's sorry too and that she's a mess. He tells her that he's outside. She lets him in. And she's obviously been crying all day long. And he just tells her that he promises he will keep her safe.
I trail kisses along her cheek to her ear where I whisper to her all the things I need for her to hear. I'm obsessed with you. I can't live without you. I'd die without you. My words turn her on because she wiggles and moans and begs for more. Slowly, I rock against her. Her body is tight and accepting, warm, mine. I continue murmuring the words she clearly needs to hear too. You're mine. I'll do whatever it takes to keep you. Whatever it takes. Mine.
He's making love, baby.
I'm nothing without you. I love you. She comes with a screech and her body jerks from beneath me. I'm so lost in our lovemaking that I come like a fucking virgin teenager. Quick and explosive. I mark my woman from the inside out.
He's a two-pump chump.
Yeah, he is.
She tells him that this is all so intense and she feels like she has no control over life. And he's like, okay, let's have boundaries. She says, bet. You have to use condoms from now on. I literally can't think about babies at the moment. Also, please don't fuck with any decisions regarding money or my career. And he says, done and done. Anything else? And she says, yes. Please just go home for the night. You're too much and I just need to like be by myself. And he says, okay, Pookie, anything for you. So he like leaves, but then he just like U-turns because he has a key. She falls asleep. He like breaks back into her house.
He says, I'm gonna sleep here.
She's fast asleep with her clothes on. So he removes the blankies and he takes her t-shirt and chonies off, leaving her fully naked. And then he just goes snooping around her house somewhere. He finds a picture of her mom and Dusty confirmed that she sends all of her extra money to her mom and that her mom is sick and in crippling medical debt. He plans to pay off her bills and his goal is to kill Vaughn, reunite Violet and her mom, and just to see his Pookie Bear happy. He goes back to Sleeping Beauty and he gets in bed with her.
I press kisses down her throat to her breasts. My tongue slides across one of her nipples, causing it to harden. I'm addicted to touching and kissing her. I'll never get my fill. I brush kisses along her abdomen. I'm dying to spread her apart and eat her until sun up, but I refrain. Instead, I press a soft kiss to her clit before sliding back up the bed. Kneeling beside her, I fist my cock. I'd prefer to be inside her again, but this will have to do.
Can you just imagine waking up to someone standing over you, just like jerking it?
No. Yeah, when you thought you would be sleeping alone. Yeah, super scary.
He comes all over her tits and he has the thought of cleaning up his jizz, but he's like, nah, I can't. That's my girl and my cum. So he's like, I have to leave it.
I would be so pissed if I woke up to that. Just come on me. A sigh escapes her and I freeze. I can't let her wake up to me jizzing all over her while she sleeps. Yeah. That would probably seem fucking creepy. Carefully, I slide off the bed, my dick dripping along the way, and then kneel on the floor. Then I slide underneath the bed. The nasty carpet scratches at my back and irritates my scarred flesh. I'd much rather be in bed with her. But love makes you do crazy things.
It sure do.
I think he's just crazy.
Yeah. Mentally unwell.
Like, you couldn't just respect her one wish and just leave her alone for one night.
No.
Yeah.
That's his girl. He goes through his email under her bed. He's just scrolling through. And he lets his mind wander about how perfect his girl is. And then his dick gets hard again. He starts winding it up and jerking it. And he groans loudly. And then he hears, who's there?
Oh, no.
So that's what wakes her up.
Just a, oh. She goes, ah, who's there? What is that?
Violet wakes up naked and the curtain in her bedroom is open and she knows she's not tripping this time and someone is in her house. Also, there's cum on her tits. She's crashing out, like, as she should. She's having a full-blown mental breakdown.
Yeah, like, why would he do this after she has told him what she's been through?
Yeah, it's fucked. So she grabs her gun, thinking the absolute worst, that it's Vaughn, right? She's like, Vaughn's in my house, he's going to fucking kill me. And she goes to call Gray immediately, and she hears the vibrating coming from under her bed. And she's frozen. She's like, oh, fuck. She, like, grabs the gun, and she's like, get the fuck out from under the bed right now. Because she can see, like, a little shoe poking out now.
Oh, my God.
He, like, slides out from under her bed, butt-ass naked. And she's like, you're a fucking stalker. And he's like, baby, let me explain. And she feels so betrayed, as she should. And he tries telling her that he can't stay away from her. He's addicted. And she starts sobbing. And in the moment, he lunges for her, trying to get the gun out of her hand because she's like, I'm going to shoot your dick off. And they're having a full-blown wrestling moment on the floor now.
Oh, with a gun?
Yeah. And she's now thrown into like a PTSD catatonic thing because she's had her powers taken away from her so many times. It's like a whole thing. But instead of him hurting her, he starts kissing on her neck. And she's screaming that she hates him and he calls her a liar and his dick gets hard.
A whimper escapes me when his cock rubs against my clit. He suckles the flesh just below my ear. Despite my fears and being unable to move my hands, my body betrays me. I'm wet and desperate for his touch. Yeah, I don't know how you fuck in a moment like that.
She tells him the moment she can't escape, she'll run far, far away from him. And he says, you can try, Pookie, but I will follow you until the end of the earth. And she's kind of like, wait, that was hot.
Oh, God.
But again, she tells him that she hates him. And he just tells her that he loves her. He lays down his undying love for her. And as much as she wants to fight it, she can't. So she embraces the sickness.
Good grief.
They have a passionate fuck sesh, and her mind is all fucked up right now. She knows what Gray just did is so wrong, but it just feels so right. He tells her that he loves her, and she tells him that she loves him too. The next day, Violet is having brunch with Gwen when Gray's in a meeting with Bull, and he gets a message. It's from Dusty, and Dusty's like their military friend who's kind of like their private investigator. And Dusty tells him that they found Vaughn. Him and two men went into Violet's mom's house, and then Vaughn left the house alone, and Dusty's following him into town right now. Gray tells him to send the location of the mom's house, the layout, the weather, everything. And then he sends Violet a text message. He tells her, be brave for me. I'm going to get you your life back, but I need you to be brave. I love you. As Violet's having brunch with Gwen, she sees the cryptic text message from Gray and she's like, what the fuck is happening? Gwen's rambling on about how she's seeing her therapist about the hoarding situation and how it's getting under control. But as she's rambling on, Violet is distracted. Her gaze goes out across the street and they land on Vaughn leaning against the car.
No. He's found her.
Their eyes lock immediately and Violet is locked on a plan to keep Gwen safe. She shoves her phone in her bra and hands Gwen her purse and calmly tells her she has to go. And Gwen's like, what is going on? You're scaring me. She tells her that everything's going to be okay, but to call Gray once she leaves and make him find her. She doesn't wait for Gwen to answer. She just gets up and leaves the restaurant. Once outside, she meets Vaughn, who grips her elbow and throws her into the passenger seat of the car. And he tells her that she should know better, that he hates hide and seek. He's white knuckle gripping the steering wheel, and she knows that shit is bad. He's talking and just being gross and manipulating. He's like literally the most manipulating character in a book that I've ever read. Like, he's horrible. She's just really scared to answer because she just doesn't want to set him off. She's scared that if she doesn't answer, it's going to set him off, but she's scared that if she does answer, it's going to set him off. So she's just like really fucking scared. And in this moment of silence, her phone vibrates. He hears it. He grabs it out of her bra and throws it out the window. And he tells her to strip. So she does. She's just like naked on the freeway. And as she does, he sees all the hickeys all over her body and he's fucking livid. He strikes her across the face and then injects her leg with something and tells her to sleep and that she'll be seeing her mom soon. When she wakes back up, she's in her childhood home and immediately starts crying. Nothing in her bedroom has changed since the night she ran away with Vaughn, and she's laying on her bed and literally can't move or feel anything. He takes off the rest of her clothes, so she's butt-ass naked on her bed, and is talking to her basically saying that he owns her again and that he can and will do whatever he wants to her. But she remembers Gray telling her to please be strong. So when he says that she's going to come back home to him, she tells him, no, I'm not. He asks her if he remembers the last time that she told him no, and she gets a flashback of her basically losing her virginity to him, but it was not consensual.
Oh, that's terrible.
But towards the end, he was like stroking her clit and she ended up coming, and he gaslit her into thinking that because she had an orgasm that she asked for it and that it wasn't rape. She's brought back to the present, and Vaughn was about to rape her again when they hear a loud pop. He immediately starts putting on his clothes and accuses Violet of doing something and asks her what she's done. Gray is in sniper mode, so we're in the POV of Hawk. The whole time he's had his sniper eye on Violet's room, never taking his eyes off of her. Vaughn keeps moving, making him having to readjust every few minutes until Violet lifts her chin and says something defiantly that causes him to pause and tremble with rage, and in that moment, Hawk takes his shot. He watches Vaughn go down face first on the bed with blood gushing from his skull.
Yeah.
Later, loser. We find out that the thing that causes Vaughn to stop with rage was Violet saying, "The answer is always no. You were never allowed to take from me, and now you will pay."
Get him.
She's somehow able to move him off of her and get off the bed and make it to her mom, and now they're reunited. Gray pulls her into a hug and tells her that he never had doubt that she could be so brave. The cops, the FBI agents, and everyone get involved. And Dusty took all the guns and the shell casings. And they were like, yeah, I don't know how that man died. He was dead when we got here. Weird.
Whoopsie.
When they found out that Vaughn was on the most wanted list, their efforts went from finding the killer to finding the trafficked women. And they end up finding a warehouse with 17 drugged trafficked women all under Vaughn.
Oh, that's awful.
Gray, Violet, and her mom all live together in Gray's house, and her 2 weeks' notice is officially up, but she decided to ask her boss for an extension. We're in the epilogue, and it's 15 years later. They have a son and three daughters, and their son is named Thomas. Thomas is kind of like the black sheep of the family, and Gray understands the dark thoughts that can swirl around in his head. He tells them that they're similar in ways how they get obsessed with things, people, stuff, ideas, and how it can feel obsessive to the point of exhaustion.
So he's a stalker. He said, "Let me teach you my ways."
Gray decides to have some father-son bonding and tells Thomas the story about Whale the Quail, and also another story. The story about how shitty and corrupt his father was. So, after he got out of the hospital when the bombing happened, he stalked his father. His dad was literally scum, to say the least. He embezzled from his company, cheated on their mother, and he literally got off on pictures of Gwen. So, Gray took care of the problem. He asked Thomas if he wanted to see, and walked him over to the chest. Inside was a plastic bag full of Whale the Quail's bones, and another skeleton curled into a fetal position. It's in perfect condition, apart from the bullet hole in the skull. It's the skeleton of his father.
Why would you show your child that?
Because the child is also a fucking psychopath as well.
Thomas vows to keep his secret and asks if he can teach him how to shoot. He asks if he wants to be a sniper one day, and Thomas says, "Maybe, but mostly I want to be just like you, Dad." The end.
I want to kill my dad. Yeah, I'm going to kill you, Dad. So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I didn't hate that. I think I give this one 3. Another 3. It was good. I liked it. But the smut wasn't, like, my favorite.
Do you think Grayson is sexy?
Maybe like a little, but he's also a fucking freak.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to wake up with him under your bed?
Fuck no.
You don't want him to fuck your mouth while you pee?
Hell no.
Would you trade places with Violet?
God no.
Fuck
no. No, 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 no.
So next week, we're telling Riley all about Mafia Obsession by Elle Steele. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Mafia Obsession. Okay, so it has like a little belt on the cover. Okay. I think this is going to be about the Mafia.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a mob boss's daughter. And then she's going to get in cahoots, like with one of his little mob boss people. But he's a bad boy. And they're... her dad's not gonna like it. I'm going way crazy. I should write a book. And her dad's gonna hate it, and they're gonna have to fight some bad guys together, and it's gonna be a forbidden romance.
Slay.
Am I close?
No.
Okay.
The Mafia was right though.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.